540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. A shooting in Jacksonville, Florida yesterday is being investigated as a federal hate crime. Sheriff T.K. Waters says the white gunman identified as 21-year-old Ryan Christopher Palmeter does not reflect the values of the people of Jacksonville.
We are not a community of hate. We stand united with the good and decent people of this city. We reject this inexcusable violence. And this agency will not rest until this investigation is complete and every available avenue of accountability has been exhausted.
Palmeter killed three black people before he killed himself with a legal weapon. President Biden released a statement condemning the killings and saying hate must have no safe harbor. Tropical storm Idalia seems to be making its way toward Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis says be prepared.
Storms, of course, as we know, these things can wobble. So Floridians along our Gulf Coast should be vigilant, even if you're currently outside the cone. And indeed, you could see impacts if you are in a place that's outside the cone.
People in Bermuda could soon feel the impact of Hurricane Franklin. Eric Blake is with the National Hurricane Center.
We think it could become a Category 4 hurricane by late Monday, and interest in Bermuda should be paying close attention.
Franklin could have sustained winds of up to 130 miles per hour. The National Guard is trying to help firefighters in Louisiana stop the spread of flames.
We have a massive firefight going on.
State Ag Commissioner Mike Strain says amid the hottest summer ever recorded in Louisiana and the resulting drought, fires are consuming thousands and thousands of acres.
We are now seeing entire towns being endangered.
He says some blazes are the results of people burning trash or crop fields, while others are from discarded cigarettes or intentional arson.
We could have major catastrophic loss.
Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
A Russian government agency reports DNA testing confirms Wagner mercenary chief Yevgeny Prigozhin was among those killed in a plane crash last week. His death might also signal the death of the Wagner group.
Prigozhin's death and those of his lieutenants will definitely have a destabilizing effect on the Wagner group. As British intelligence put it this week, Prigozhin's exceptional audacity and extreme brutality defined Wagner group and are unlikely to be matched by any successor.
Beth Noble is CBS's former Moscow bureau chief. A new crew of four astronauts from four different countries has been greeted by current members of the International Space Station, among them NASA astronaut Jasmine Mumbele. The other new members are from Denmark, Japan, and Russia. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Dow. The massive 2023 Farm Bill is due to be passed this fall. Anti-hunger groups are calling on Congress to protect the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Suzanne Potter reports.
SNAP provides an average benefit of $6 per person per day. Luis Guardia with the Food Research and Action Center wants SNAP benefits to be higher and more accessible.
We can achieve this in the program by linking benefits to a more realistic food plan, ending time limits for the unemployed, repealing the ban on individuals with a drug felony, dropping extra work requirements for full-time college students, and ending the prohibition on hot prepared foods.
Conservative Republicans are expected to call to restrict access to the program, which serves 12% of Americans. The chair of the House Agriculture Committee, Republican Representative Glenn Thompson of Pennsylvania, has called for reconsideration of money allocated in the Inflation Reduction Act to climate-friendly agricultural programs. Mike Lavender with the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition says the Farm Bill is an opportunity to put our values into practice.
We're here to urge House Farm Bill leaders to deliver a solid bipartisan Farm Bill, one that protects and strengthens anti-hunger and climate spending programs.
Advocates would also like to see the Farm Bill include national rules to require water and rest breaks for farm workers. I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed Group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the wonderful, the talented Mr. Aaron Zommers over in the studio here at the World Headquarters, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square in Madison, Wisconsin. It is Friday, TGIF, August 25th, 2023. Welcome into the broadcast. We made it, Mr. Zommers. The end of a very busy week here at Civic Media.
A very busy week indeed. I definitely still have some stuff left to do after the show before I can pack up for the weekend.
Any big plans for the weekend?
I do have one plan, something I'm doing tomorrow. Really? Tomorrow I am going to... So there's a local like small no-till farm called Wonka's Harvest.
Okay.
And they are putting on the first annual music festival there. Called Lettuce Jam, like let us jam.
Yes,
lettuce jam. It's a pun.
I mean, is lettuce the only green things at the jam? Or
I don't know. I've never been there yet. But one of my friends works there. I'm volunteering to take some tickets and things like that. So if you go, maybe you'll see me there.
Maybe
featuring local bands such as Wonderfunk, Augie Doherty, and Billy Bronsted and the Loot.
The
Good
Loot.
Morning Routine, and the Spine Stealers.
Ooh, a classic lineup right there. I'm looking forward to nerves. I will not be there. I will tell you, I will not be there, but enjoy. But this brings up a pet peeve of mine, and I mean nothing disparaging against this fine lettuce festival or whatever it's called, but first annual. You cannot use the term first annual because it's not annual until the second time you do it.
I think it's more of a statement of intent. I do agree
it's
that
it's grammatically incorrect.
It is just wrong and it sounds weird, but I think it's a statement of intent.
You say the premiere, the kickoff to, and then the second year you say it's the second annual. You can't have something that's first annual.
Because you haven't had it yearly yet.
Exactly. It's only been one. I'm sorry. It's a pet peeve of mine. Odd pet peeves.
I think it's weird, but that's one that I've accepted at this point.
You've just given in on first annual.
Yeah. I'm not going to do it myself.
Right. I was going to go somewhere else, but I mean, if you want to call in and talk, do you get ticked off? Does a pet peeve first annual? Is that just something that sticks in your craw, or is Todd being too sensitive? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Does first annual bother you for a festival or for an event or whatever? Does it have to be the second time before you can use annual? I say yes. What say you? 844-967-2789. Jeff Perry says, could this be the first annual Trump mugshot? There it is, right on cue on the YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. Mr. Zommers had it ready. Mr. Perry played into that perfectly. That's where I was going to go this morning or this afternoon. was we have the mugshot now of the Trumpster, the former president of the United States who has been cuffed and stuffed and fingerprinted and mugshotted. All 19 people down in Georgia. By the way, I think when Trump landed, they started playing Charlie Daniels, The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
And then afterwards, the Lincoln Project Twitter has posted a lot of good memes, including one with a particular song in it, Photograph by Nickelback, the lyrics of which are, look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh.
Well, so that's where I was going to go. I mean, we've had a busy day. We were down at the Republican debate on Wednesday down in Milwaukee. Then we were back here yesterday, and we were in Richland Center before that. So we've been all over the state this week. And so I was going to catch up a little bit on these news things here on a Friday. And one of them is this Trump mugshot. Because the other indictments where he got arrested, he was not photographed. They said, well, you know, he's the president of the United States, former president. But now we have an official mugshot. And as Mr. Zommer said, all 18 other people in this indictment in Georgia have been mug-shotted as well, or photographed, perhaps is a better way to say it. And there have been a lot of memes. One group, was it Lincoln Project or somebody else, who kind of took at least part of them and made them into Batman villains?
And Rudy, I don't know. I didn't see that one.
Rudy Giuliani was the Penguin. It was pretty good.
That's a good fit.
Right? It was pretty good.
I like the one that it's just simple, but it has pictures of, like, well, I can't think, it was Jack Nicholson and other people, and talks about, it's like a little blurb explaining the Kubrick stare, and then Donald Trump's pictures in the corner there too. And talks about how they are staring directly at the camera with their face slightly tilted forward to communicate to the audience that they are at the peak of their derangement.
Wow. All right. Well, it's a big show today. Coming up, particularly in hour two, at the end of this hour, we're going to do board game of the week a little bit early. We'll have that at 1:50 or thereabouts with Mr. Zommers. He'll give us a board game of the week in this end of the first hour. Then in hour two, our news director for Civic Media, Terry Bell, is going to be here in studio and joining us and talking about this incident that happened up in Wausau earlier this week. Well, not in Wausau, but there's an independent paper there that reported on some tawdry occurrences by a member of the state legislature. And suddenly, the Legislative Technology Bureau, LTSB, blocked that paper from being looked at online in the state capitol.
It was an accident.
That's what they claim it was. Terry Bell will be in here. And then Keegan Kelly, from Cracked.com at 2:30. Your phone calls are on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show. And this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weikert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new head coach.
We got one objective, one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't.
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover force.
Join us Saturday, September 2nd. It's the Badgers and Buffalo Bulls in Madison. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
WRJN, 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, Racine, and 98.1 FM.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
May lead and having fun doing so. Welcome back to Town Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin on a Friday, August 25th, 2023. Mr. Aaron Zommers, along with myself, welcome you into this Friday broadcast. And looking forward to the weekend, I got to say, I'm going to be up in Richland Center a little bit this weekend and also just trying to do some laundry and get things back in order this weekend. So that's what's on Toddy's agenda. On this hour, though, on the agenda is catching up on some of this news throughout the week that we kind of got because of the Republican debate in town, some things that we kind of didn't miss, but didn't spend a lot of time on. And one of them was the continual arrest and booking of these 19 people down in Georgia, including former President Trump. And CNN has this story on it called Presidential Mugshot of Inmate Number P0113589 is stark in its simplicity. Somebody's going to make a song out of that, right? What was that song back in the 80s? Anyway, I'll think of it. There's a song about a, there's a song about a telephone number.
8675309.
That's it. 8673509. Yeah. 3580911358
It's very close.
Yes, exactly. Maybe we should do a parody of that. We'll work on that. Anyway, millions and millions, according to this article, millions and millions of photographs have been taken of American presidents, but none like this. The mugshot of Donald Trump instantly became one of the most iconic images of anyone who served as commander in chief. Inmate P0113589 stares out of the booking photo. His face is like stone. It's impossible to know what Trump is feeling. But the image taken after his motorcade drove down to the Fulton County Jail does not radiate his trademark bravado. His eyes bore into you. And the seal, the Fulton County Sheriff's Office in a top corner, is a reminder that Trump, for all his former power, is beholden to a process where he cannot control his own fate. Trump's mugshot, stark in its simplicity in a way that must surely grate for an ex-reality star for whom image is everything, is a metaphor for an election in which the potential Republican nominee and possible next president is facing 91 criminal charges across four cases. Trump denies all wrongdoing and, of course, is innocent until proven guilty in all cases, including in the racketeering accusations in Georgia related to his own bid to overturn the 2020 election. But in some ways, the mugshot taken after he surrendered to the authorities yesterday represents the inevitable culmination of a life that has stretched and buckled the constraints around the presidency and frequently strained the law. More broadly, for a man who built his legend through paparazzi snaps in the New York gossip columns and who prizes Time magazine bearing his face, the Georgia mugshot, for all its indignity, represents yet another new frontier of notoriety. But for the nation, still entangled in recriminations and fury whipped up by Trump, the photograph, which flashed immediately around the world, represents a special kind of tragedy. For those who revile Trump for his autocratic instincts, demagoguery, vulgarity, and self-obsession, the mugshot may offer feelings of vindication. For the millions of Trump supporters who believe he is a victim of persecution, and prosecution, probably, it will enshrine his status as a living political martyr,
on which his bid to regain the White House is rooted. While Trump's team said he wanted to look defiant, the ex-president's booking photo is likely to polarize Americans as much as his politics. The picture also begs the question, why does the world's most famous man, always under the sharp-suited gaze of Secret Service agents and who cannot leave his luxury home without a motorcade, why does he need a mugshot? It's not like he's suddenly going to disappear. He flies around in a personal airliner emblazoned with the word Trump. He could travel anywhere on Earth and be instantly recognized. The official explanation for the mugshot seems to be that Trump, despite his former power and fame, should be treated under the law just like anyone else. If a man who once had the power to destroy the world with a nuclear arsenal gets a mugshot just like any other alleged criminal in Georgia, then justice really is equal for all. But even if the national interest is truly served by multiple indictments of a former president, could the humiliation now be plied, on backfire? Furthermore, Trump has weaponized every aspect of his legal struggle to supercharge the cult of victimization and vengeance that drives his political appeal. Trump quickly posted the photo himself to his Truth Social network and used it to return to Twitter, now being called X. His campaign is already plastering it everywhere, likely to help raise cash. He's spending on his defense and turning his shame into a new kind of power, in an affront to the justice system. And then jumping down to the last paragraph in this CNN article, an analysis on Trump's mugshot. President Richard Nixon, two-handed victory salute from the doors of his helicopter, could not hide the stigma of his defeat and final exit from the White House after he resigned over Watergate. In September 2001, President George W. Bush stood on a pile of charred wreckage at Ground Zero in New York with a bullhorn, catalyzing a wounded nation's shift from grief to resolve after his worst ever terror attack. 4 years later, a picture of him staring down from the presidential plane at the drowned Gulf Coast epitomized his negligent leadership after Hurricane Katrina. For future generations, such images define a chapter of national lore when all the details have been blurred together. The same will be true of Trump's mugshot. Great, great writing by the author here, Stephen Collinson of CNN. What are your feelings on the Trump mugshot? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. They say a picture is worth a thousand words. Would love to hear from you. Because I think this is going to be I think the author of this is right. Stephen Collinson. This will be a picture that lives on into infamy. I mean, you look at it. I mean, I think most of us have seen it. But you look at it, he just looks mean, right? Just mean, to me at least. But yeah, it represents that nobody's above the law, right? But what does this photo, what does this posting of this mugshot of Trump mean to you? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to Tom in Madison. Tom, thanks for listening. What say you?
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I think the one meme that's going around today on the internet is the Kubrick stare. If you Google that, it seems to be exactly what he's doing. And it's a really interesting comparison. To me, when I look at that photo, I see a scared boy who's trying to act tough like his abusive father. And that's about all there is with it. I'm really disappointed that he didn't have to do the regular mugshot profile and full face. And let's face it, he's not 215 pounds, guys. Not
right? I mean, how do you... Was somebody bribed at the Fulton County courthouse? I mean, how in the world I mean, there's something around the internet showing athletes that weigh 215 pounds, right?
I believe that the information was sent over ahead of time, so it must have been one of his office aides trying to suck up or something.
So they didn't actually weigh him. They allowed him to declare his own weight?
They all self-declared, and everyone else self-declared with some degree of accuracy. And then he's like, trust me, I'm 6'3". I have 215 of the best pounds you'll ever see. No one has any pounds like him.
That's pretty good, Mr. Summers. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm 6'3", and I'm also 250 pounds, and he's got me by at least 30 or 40.
Right? Oh, that's ridiculous. Well, I appreciate what you're saying. I think you're right. I mean, this is going to be an iconic photo moving forward. And interesting you bring up this whole thing about his relationship with his late father, because it's a lot of time on a couch there to unpack all of that, but interesting, right? How things that happen even in Trump's childhood kind of come back and haunt him.
Absolutely. It's a fake toughness that is skin deep.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Tom. Really appreciate you listening. Have a great day. Matt, my pleasure. On the Facebook, there's a Facebook, Mr. Zomers. Is that true? Yes. Jeff Perry saying, people are saying it's a beautiful mugshot. In fact, it may be the greatest mugshot of all time. I don't know. People are saying it. If Trump were being quoted, that'd be very good, right? It has everything. It has all the mugshots. We have all the mugshots. We have all of them. They're the most beautiful. What do you think of this Trump mugshot? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, download it on your iPhone or Android device. Let's go back to the phone lines. Susan from her car. Susan, always appreciate you calling in while you drive. Do so safely. What say you?
Well, I was at the bank, so I can talk. actually, it is a defiant photo, but in a sense, it's a sad state of affairs that we have to have an ex-president mugshot. And I think it also maybe it gives us hope that we can move forward from this and come out on the other side a better nation if we can all pull together. That's all.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, that there is some hope that justice will be served in the court of law, correct?
Yes.
Great. Appreciate it, Susan. Always appreciate you listening. Thanks for calling in. Have a great day out there. Let's go over to Fond du Lac, beautiful Fond du Lac. Rick in Fond du Lac, what say you?
Yes, hi. Here's a question about that mugshot. How much did it cost? Think about this. I mean, the security that they went through, they cut off the road so they could drive him to the jail. I mean, things like that, it's like, let's just say for the sake of argument, he is guilty. Where does the money come from? Why should we the people have to pay for those kinds of things, considering... if he is found guilty, what he did, all that, just the thought.
No, I appreciate the call, Rick. I would say that any former president gets security wherever they go. Doesn't matter. It could be a golf course, could be shopping, whatever. But I agree with the other callers that this is a matter of having a president being treated like anyone else. Anybody else would be in this situation would have to come in for a mugshot. This guy just happens to travel with security.
Exactly.
So appreciate the call, Rick. Really appreciate it up in Fond du Lac. Take your calls on the other side as well. If you want to give us a ring, 844-967-2789. Don't go anywhere. Mr. Zomers and I are back after this on the Tom Hall Show. And this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The sheriff in Jacksonville, Florida, says a 21-year-old white man legally obtained the guns he used to kill three black people in a racially motivated attack yesterday afternoon. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
Perpetrating violence of this kind is unacceptable, and targeting people due to their race has no place in the state of Florida.
Three Marines were killed and five critically injured when their helicopter crashed on an Australian island during a training exercise. Scott Maiman reports.
Australian officials are working with the U.S. Defense Force personnel as they reach out to family members and also start the probe into the cause of the crash.
Russia has officially confirmed the death of Yevgeny Prigozhin in a plane crash. University of California, Berkeley's Stephen Fish.
He really showed Putin to be very vulnerable, and that legacy remains. That's not going to die with Prigozhin.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing so. Welcome back to the Tall Ball Show on a Friday, August 25th. Mr. Aaron Sommers on the board. Happy to have you along with us here in hour number one. Don't forget, a little bit later, Board Game of the Week with Mr. Sommers. As you get ready to go into your weekend, have a little fun. Board Game of the Week a bit early this week because a big hour number two. Just after the top of the hour, Terry Bell, news director for Civic Media, will be in talking about the legislature. Did they block a Wausau newspaper on state capitol computers? The LTSB, Legislative Technology Bureau, it's controlled by the state legislature. Were orders given to block a media source from members of the state legislature and their staff? We'll talk about that in hour number two. Also at the bottom of the hour at 2:30, Keegan Kelly, a comedy writer, a beat writer at cracked.com. What goes into the life of a comedy writer and some of their stories? We'll have that in hour number two, so stay tuned for that. Right now, talking about this mugshot of Donald J. Trump. Lots of opinions on this. Some people think it's terrible. Some people think it's great. Looking at the photo itself, very interesting to analyze it. Off the text line, thank you, Mr. Sommers, throwing it up on the website there, or on the stream, I should say. Off the text line, Tom says the mugshot is disappointing. There's no foot and inch lines behind him. That's true. No profile photo next to it. Just a straight on shot, right? Also suggests it ought to be in black and white because all these shots down at Fulton County are in color. Says the mugshot pose is sadly his warped concept of leadership. Hyper tough and full of vengeance. I agree with that. Good take. You can text us as well on the Civic Media app. Simply download it to your Android or iPhone, text us or call on the Civic Media app, or just pick up the phone and dial 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go back to the phones. Mark from the SAC. Mark, what say you?
Well, I think it shows Trump's defiance of that he's actually being charged. I mean, what is annoying to me, we got Alan Dershowitz out there saying, how dare you do this to... It's completely constitutional, whatever Donald Trump did. And that, you know, like I've said before, I'm just an ignorant accountant, but I can actually read the Constitution. And, you know, Donald Trump violated the Constitution. In fact, he actually had said, you know, I want to suspend the Constitution so I can just stay in office. And, I mean, it just, the support that he is getting, I mean, one thing that just raised my hackles today is that what Scott Jensen was raising his head and making, talking smart about, you know, Donald Trump. And Scott Jensen should be, you know, working at a McDonald's someplace. He shouldn't be able to be a lobbyist because he violated, you know, the caucus and the whole caucus thing and went ran to Waukesha County and Brad Schimmel, you know, reduced the charges on him and gave him, you know, just a misdemeanor. And he should have been permanently banned from being able to be a lobbyist or being in that kind of position. But, No, of course, Brad Schimmel did that for him. And correct me if I'm wrong. I might be misremembering it. But didn't Brad Schimmel kind of eliminate some traffic charges against him?
Against Scott Jensen? Boy, you got me there. It sounds familiar.
Brad Schimmel did something for himself. I mean, but these guys, the rot is just...
And for those that don't, Mark, for those that don't remember, let's just say quickly, Scott Jensen is a long time ago, former speaker of the Wisconsin State Assembly in the 90s, a Republican, and he and former Democratic Majority Leader in the Senate, Chuck Quala, were both got in cahoots with the law under the whole caucus scandal thing. Quala actually, served some brief jail time. But as you said, Schimmel negotiated Jensen's stuff down to misdemeanors, and he never went to jail.
Well, he was actually convicted in Dane County, but then they said, oh, no, it was unfair for him to, you know, be tried in the county where he committed his crime, that we had to move this over to Waukesha County, his home county, and... you know, with a friendly prosecutor, he got his crime reduced down to a misdemeanor, which it should not have been in the first place, and that it's just the contempt that these guys have for the law.
Yeah,
I mean, and that's what it is contempt that it is just a, you know. And Dale Schultz was a man of dignity and honor, and that there's a lot of stuff I disagreed with him on, but he actually, you know, upheld dignity and honor, you know, during the Walker administration when he was there, and that. It's just been abandoned by some of these guys. These guys are in power, and they don't care.
Right.
They're like Trump and that little mini-Trumps, and they think, we're in power, we're large and in charge, we'll do whatever the hell they want. And like the guy that's like, you know, he's suing for the paper for, or the site for defamation, and says, well, I use that word all the time now, but you know, I didn't use it at this particular meeting, supposedly. Well,
And now, Mark, already last night, Trump's got stuff up on their website. They're using this official mugshot to put it on cups and shirts and raise money off of it. I mean, just an absolute affront to the judicial system.
You're absolutely right. It is just that they're proud of this guy because they don't seem to understand that he violated the law.
Mm-hmm.
A fear, you know, that, well, it's proven in court, but a simple reading of the law is he violated it, pure and simple. And maybe this is my accountant thing of this, yes or no on these various things. Did he do this? Yes, he did that. Did he do this? Yes, he did that. And it's just a binary choice. I mean, because it's either on or off, on or off switch. That it's either a yes or no thing, and that's what you have to base what the jury will have to be faced with doing is, did he do that or not? Did the fake electors do the fake elector things? Yes, they did. It doesn't matter why they did it, why they thought they could do it, they did it.
Yeah.
I mean, if your lawyer says you can speed and you speed and you get caught, well, the lawyer told me I could speed, so I did it. Well, no, you can't.
Right. No, I mean, I love the fact that they're treating him like everybody else. I love the fact that they brought him in, that they brought in all 18 of these people, and besides Trump, 19 in total, and they lined them all up, but they treated them like you and I would if we were accused of the same crime. Mike always, or Mike, good Lord. Mark, it's Friday. I apologize. My brain's a little tired.
Thanks, brother.
Mark in the SAC, always appreciate you. Have a great weekend, my friend, up there in the SAC. Give us a call. What are your thoughts on this Trump mugshot? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go up to the Chippewa Valley and beautiful Eau Claire and Jean in Eau Claire. We always appreciate you calling in, my friend. What say you?
Well, first of all, you are allowed to be a little tired because you've been working so darn hard doing an outstanding job of coverage of this, what's going on here in our country. It's unbelievable. I'm so thankful you guys did an outstanding job of the coverage of the debate. You did outstanding coverage of what's going on here, and we're very, very thankful for you, and thank you so much. I have a comment on this whole process and the mugshot. I think I'm going to get mine, and I'm going to mount a couple of horns on the back and have a tail sticking up somehow in the back of the picture. Because, you know, this guy is the best manipulator that he's going to go down in history as the best psychological manipulator the world has ever seen. You know, he embarrassed us. When he'd go to the other countries, they'd all meet with protests with that little Trump baby. Remember that balloon
yes,
in the air? People hated him. And people in our state, in our country, hate the guy because they see the destruction, and it's not hateful of him, but his behaviors. Mm-hmm. The guy thinks he is the king. And the way that those Republicans, I'm sorry to say this, the first time I watched him, I thought, oh, balls, we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. When they had the meeting around the table, Priebus was there and all the people that Trump put there, and they all praised him. Oh, you're the best president we've ever had. And they went around the table. See, I watched all this stuff live. I've got this documented. It's like, what in the world is going on in our country? Then when the first guy to tweet to people, oh, my gosh, we got a tweet from the president. No other president. And then I'm working for you. And then when anything happens to him, it's against us. So he's got this bond with these people because he says, they're going after us. No, Trump. We're not going after the people that voted for you. We're going after you for using our house in the federal government, our state house in Wisconsin, for your criminal activities, trying to stay in office when you lost. You're a loser. You lost. And all those people in Wisconsin, the fake electors, all need to be held accountable because the law is the law. If we start making exemptions for everybody, we might as well just all go back to bed and say goodbye, democracy. So thank you so much for the work that you do, and I really appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, Gene. Bye-bye. Thanks so much. I always appreciate the call, Gene. Great call. I want to pick up on something that Gene just said because it's really important about this ability. I mean, you can say you can love Trump or you can hate him, but you have to respect this about the guy. He is a great manipulator. I mean, you can't deny that. He is the ultimate grifter. He has the ability to draw people in. I mean, I don't think he was number one ever, but I mean, you cannot deny that when he had The Apprentice on NBC, it was one of the top 10 television programs on TV. I've said before, when he just had the television program long before he ever became a real politician, I watched a few seasons of The Apprentice. I found it compelling reality television because he'd come on, he'd say, okay, here's a task. At the end of it, one team's going to win, one team's going to lose, and then we're going to go to the boardroom and somebody's going to get fired. And at the end, somebody got fired. It was fun to watch. I mean, he was able to draw you into that. I mean, look at all these deals he's done with the boardwalk and Trump Tower, the Atlantic or Atlantic City, I think it was, where he got all these people to invest. The whole thing went under, but he came out smelling like a rose. All these places where he had buildings of tenants, and he screwed over people of color, but he came out smelling like a rose. The guy has the ability to manipulate you. To not you, but I mean people out there. I just heard this directly from someone with direct knowledge this week about how he hires people to do work for him, whether it's plumbers or contractors or anybody else. And he says, you know, yeah, I'm going to hire you. And they do the work and they send him the bill. And he says, I'm not paying that. And they said, yes, you are. And he says, no, I'm not paying it. Way too much. No way I'm paying you that. I'll give you half of that. I'll pay you half. And they say, no. And he says, well, take me to court. It'll cost you because I've got countless attorneys. And it will cost you more in attorney fees than it will if you just settle for half of what I actually owe you. And so they relent. And Trump gets away with it. And he basically is stealing people's money. And you want to know where that comes from? It comes on the backs of the electricians and the plumbers and the union guys who are doing all the work. And you know what? Half those people have Trump bumper stickers on the back of their trucks. And that's who he's screwing over. It's not the rich who's getting screwed by Trump. It's the little guy and the little gal. It's the average American citizen, who is the average Wisconsinite, who gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning and works their butt off to provide for their family, and are honest, good, hardworking Americans and Wisconsinites. And the people who are hurt worst by Trump's policies are middle-class Americans. And yet many people vote for him because he has the ability to manipulate people. He did this in 2016. The guy has virtually nothing in common with the average Wisconsin citizen. But he uses the divisive, the vile language that people use amongst their best friends on the bar stool. And then they look up at the TV at the bar and Trump's saying it on national TV. And they kind of elbow each other and raise a beer and say, by God, finally somebody's saying it. It's all that kind of dark stuff. It's all that divisive language, that hate. And then Trump goes the extra mile. And he says, these people that you're afraid of, that you don't like, that you hate, they're coming after you. And I'm on your side. And people believe him. And let's not forget, sometimes Democrats like Hillary Clinton did not do a good job themselves of connecting with those same folks. Trump is a manipulator. Jeannie is right in Eau Claire. But it wasn't good enough to avoid a mugshot. P0113589. Better known as Donald Trump. Back with more after this. This is the Tom Holt Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Back to the Todd Lavelle Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. We have next hour after the news. Our news director here at Civic Media, Terry Bell, will join us after the news, talking about what happened up in Wausau this week, or maybe more accurately, what happened at the state capitol regarding an independent newspaper in Wausau. The Legislative Technology Bureau apparently blocked them. They said it was something called phishing. We'll get the details from Terry Bell after the top of the hour, talk about that a little bit. And then at the bottom of the hour, we have Keegan Kelly, a comedy beat writer at Cracked.com. We will talk to them and find out what it's like being a comedy writer. I mean, because you'd think that a comedy writer has to be always funny. I don't know. I think it maybe sometimes it's not as sexy and exciting as people might think. But we'll talk to Keegan Kelly at the bottom of the 2:30 hour. I want to get to this quickly and mention this. Because this is going to be, when you talked about the debate, we were down there, Kristen Bryan, myself, hosted the pre-debate coverage from Milwaukee on Wednesday. And Frank Luntz, a longtime poller, tweeted this out today, said, "Will be interesting to see if this holds in the post-debate polls that come out later this week. According to Wednesday Night Watchers, Nikki Haley and Chris Christie did the best." Now, there's this group called Interactive Polls. And they viewed, or they polled Republican voters after the debate. And this is the net favorability ratings among Republicans who watched the debate before and after. This is not like who's ahead in the polls, like who would you vote for? But they ask the question, they give a name from somebody and they say, you know, Chris Christie, do you have a positive or a negative view of Chris Christie? So these are the net favorability ratings. Who did the best in the net favorability? Well, Nikki Haley. She's up 13 points. And Chris Christie, also up 13 points. Who did the worst? Ron DeSantis, only up 6. Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. Scott. Tim Scott did the worst. Only actually went down 5 points. His favorability went down 9. Ramaswamy, get this. This is interesting. Vivek Ramaswamy, who many people, mega people, said won the debate, his favorability rating went down 9 points. So that's interesting. Also, according to a Washington Post poll, who do you think performed the best in the Republican primary debate? According to Republicans, Republicans say DeSantis, 29%, did the best.
What?
That's what, according to Republicans, in this poll, by Interactive Poll, DeSantis, 29%, Ramaswamy, 26%, Haley 15, Pence 7, Scott and Christie tied at 4, and Burgum, the potted plant, and Asia Hutchinson 1%.
So I think there you go. Kind of exemplifies that people are just so frustrated and upset that when they hear more people saying America's on the decline, they're like, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, we want to get those numbers out there. We'll see what happens down the road. It is now 1:53, time for Board Game of the Week.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back to Board Game of the Week.
Taking a little town call, Will Walter. They're very good. Yeah.
So this week's board game is one that is very simple. And in fact, you could just do it. You could make it on your own. You could buy it. I'll let you know how. You could support the developers of the game.
All right.
But it is something you could easily do with stuff you have at home.
Lay it on us.
This game is called A Fake Artist Goes to New York.
I was just at New York a couple weeks ago.
Well,
I'm not a fake artist, though, but maybe.
Well,
a fake artist goes to New York. All right, tell us more.
It's a Japanese game that was translated. The title roughly translates to "a fake artist goes to New York," so they printed it that way.
Got it.
So, in this game, everybody has a marker of a different color, and one person takes turns being the question asker. And so you have a card for each other player, and you write something on all of them. So it's the same thing.
Right.
So maybe you write dog, and you write dog on every card except one. You just put an X on it. Mm-hmm. And then you shuffle them out, you deal them out to everybody, and one at a time, they draw one line or one stroke. Like, it could be a circle, it could be just a line, it could be a squiggly line to represent something. But, and then you keep adding on to the drawing to see what you end up with. After two times around the whole circle, you take a look at the drawing and everyone discusses, who do we think was making it up?
Oh, really? So it's kind of like to tell the truth a little bit.
Yeah, and you just have to cheat your way into a victory. No, not cheat, but lie and pretend that you know what's going on if you have the X.
But that's pretty good, though, because you kind of have to make things up as you go. A little bit of creativity, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And social deduction games like that are always really easy to get into because the rules are simple.
Yeah.
And it's a fun time, and it stays fun even if you play it with the same people because you draw different things every time. And maybe after a while you ramp it up and instead of saying dog, you say, I don't know, Luke Skywalker in Empire Strikes Back when he just got his hand cut off and is screaming no.
That's very specific.
Or, I don't know. It's something
that's very specific.
Exactly. You do something really specific and you see if they can even draw it, let alone contribute when they don't know what it is.
And so you can do it yourself. You can make it yourself or you can also buy it, you said.
Yes, it is $30. It's a very small. The thing that's nice about buying it as opposed to just grabbing your own paper or whiteboard is that it's a very compact package.
Oh, okay.
And has nice markers with it and everything. And little cards to give out to everybody where you little dry erase cards for writing the secret word. But obviously, you can do it yourself. You could even, if you don't have paper on you, that might be difficult, but you could like text people the words. Mm-hmm. You could write it on paper, do a dry erase board.
Yeah.
Even in the page for the game, there are pictures of people just using their own dry erase boards and playing it. So
it sounds fun. I mean, it sounds like a pretty wide age range as well.
Oh, yeah. Let me see what they recommend. They recommend ages 8 and up, but I think you could get someone younger to play it. It's just they might have trouble coming up with things that when they don't know what the word is, but not impossible. It's 5 to 10 players. Only takes about 20 minutes to play, but I imagine it's the kind of game that you'll want to do more than just one round of. Mm-hmm. And so that is A Fake Artist Goes to New York, this week's board game of the week.
A Fake Artist Goes to New York. Very good. I like that. A very creative name. Goes $30 or you can make it yourself, your board game. But we did it a little early because a big hour, next hour, we have news director Terry Bell in the green room. Also, he's sitting right there. There he is. Our green room is just the couch right behind us. We'll be talking about this issue of the Legislative Technology Bureau. And did Republicans actually order a newspaper in Wisconsin to be blocked from being accessed on Capitol computers? We'll talk to Terry about that. And then coming up at 2:30, Keegan Kelly, a comedy beat writer at cracked.com. So I want to stay tuned for all of that. We'll be talking about that after the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere now. The update from CBS, ABC, or Associated Press, depending upon where you're at, is next, followed by weather, and we'll come back in hour number two. Mr. Aaron Zommers, Todd Allball, on the Todd Allball Show. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to a Civic Media radio station. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR